Nintendo and I are in a little bit of a tiff right now.
Alex is not enjoying Nintenders.
No, I have not joined Nintenders. Although that also could be like chicken tenders in the shape of like Nintendo characters. Sounds like a very McDonald's thing to team up with.
Surprised they haven't already.
You are listening to Trophy Horse with your hosts, Tricky Mick, Alex, I Yield to No One, Sid, and Ender Phoenix.
And welcome everybody to another fabulous, fantastic Summer Slamtastic episode of Trophy Horse, episode number 681. Matt, me, Ender will be hosting tonight, and with us we don't have Tricky. Tricky got called into work in Morocco, so he is hopefully going to be doing some recruiting there as well. But we do have Alex with us here tonight. How are you doing, Alex?
Actually, I have a friend who went to Morocco on vacation the last couple of years and said they had really good food. So hopefully Tricky is enjoying some good food instead of just ordering a slice of pizza or whatever he likes to eat, some cheese pizza or whatever.
Dry ass wings.
Some chicken cutlets. Is cheese pizza even considered pizza? Let's be honest here.
I would say it is.
Would you? I at least got to have pepper. I at least got to have a pepperoni on it. Bare minimum, I got
to
have pepperoni.
Yeah, I'm going to always order it if I'm ordering, but if I'm at a party and somebody's like, here's pizza and it's just got cheese on it, you know what?
I will have a slice. Okay, you got me there. I will at least have a slice.
And obviously you also hear Yields here debating on the logistics of what isn't a pizza, but that's okay. That's why we're here.
Well, you know, my wife gave me a hard time because of my peanut butter bread for chili today, so...
Silence, peanut butter bread.
So I must be the only one. Okay then. Yeah.
So you said for chili? So you're eating peanut butter bread with chili?
Yeah, you dip it in the chili and eat it. Nobody?
I wasn't poo-pooing it. I was just, my brain was jumping through the hoops, like the logistics of trying to figure out exactly what you were doing with it.
I don't know why. It's something that I've had since I can remember. You had peanut butter bread with chili. So
folks, this has been a great run for Trophy Horse, but I think that finally did us in.
I've done it.
I watched a Facebook reel today, and I forget what the...
That was your first mistake.
That was my first mistake. I think that rabbit hole's deep. Watching Facebook reels. But I saw a guy dump a whole bunch of cheese into a frying pan, starts heating it up. Shredded cheese, just so nice and melty. Then he dumps a jar of peanut butter into it and he starts eating it up. I'm like, well, why? I felt like punishing myself, so I continued watching it. And then, sure enough, it's all mixed. And then he takes a big old bite. And I said, that's enough internet for today.
Cheesy peanut butter? I don't know if I'd go there.
Clearly, that man lost a bet.
I think so.
Or it was a college student, a poor college student who ran out of money. And that's what they had on hand.
That's all he had left. Jar of peanut butter and a bag of shredded cheese.
They're even out of the Marichan ramen. They got to go with the peanut butter and cheese. Just whatever they had at midnight.
And I tell you, if you're on Marichan ramen, you're into something.
You appreciate stretching a dollar way too far.
Yeah. You know, whether it's that or whether it's an oil filter.
Although,
either way,
I will say this, and this might drive off the last audience that we have. I can't make fun of Marichan ramen because, quite frankly, I went to one of our grocery stores and I was just looking for sandwich stuff because I was just looking for an easy dinner. And I passed by the meat section. And I was like, I haven't had bologna in such a fucking long time. And I bought some bologna and I took that shit down. I don't know, man. I know bologna's not great. But goddamn, if you haven't had it in 20 plus years, it's real good.
Did you just have it plain, or did you use like fried bologna?
Well, I'm not a serial killer, Yield.
Okay.
No, I just had it on bread with like say some mustard.
Some mustard. And all
cheese.
Right.
All you gotta have cheese on there.
Nothing wrong with that. Do some fried bologna. That's pretty good too. Some miracle.
Yeah, here it makes it taste like a hot dog.
Fried bologna. Yeah, it's good.
My mom grew up on fried bologna, so she told me, like, I know that White Castle occasionally serves it. There's actually a pizza here. There's a local company called The Post, a restaurant that does like pizzas of the month and stuff like that. And one of the pizzas they have available now is like bologna, potato chips, and pickles. So
I don't know if I'd try that. I mean,
I'm sure Matt is horrified right now. We've gone down a path that Matt will not follow. He'd rather talk about wrestling at this point, probably.
No, actually, I'm more knowledgeable about food than I am wrestling, so at least I can refute that bullshit.
No, man, but like, if you haven't had like just a simple sandwich with some cheese and bologna and mustard in a long time, and I grew up on bologna, so it's not like I completely hate it, but damn, man, it was
some good.
That was some good eating. I mean, not really, but to me, it was good eating. So,
oh no, I feel you, man.
All right, Matt, there goes the last of our audience, so you can continue on with the show.
Yes, yeah, so let's continue on before we get too drawn out into foods that should not be eaten. As is tradition, we do our updated trophy counts at this time of the show. So with Tricky not being here, I will cover his, and he is currently level 969 with 34,712 trophies and 999 platinums, which he's still working towards that magical 1,000. Alex, how close are you to that magical 1,000?
Well, my streak continues, Matt. It's not an impressive streak, but it's a streak nonetheless. I may have gone all of July without a trophy, a single trophy, although I don't remember when I got the platinum in, or the DLC trophies in Prince of Persia, but I'm level 522, total trophy count of 10,705, and platinum count of 195 in 194 games. Y'all, I was going to buy Turtles. Talked about it for weeks. And so it gets to be the last night of the sale. And I'm watching something on YouTube, I can't remember, probably some documentary about missing planes or sunken ships or some shit like that. Or tornadoes. I've been on that kick watching stories about really horrific tornadoes. And I'm like, oh shit, the sale's about to end. Turtles is about to go off sale. I don't have any time left. So I went to the store. Oh, I've still got 2.5 hours. I'm good. So I go back to what I'm watching on YouTube. Guess what happens?
You fell asleep.
I fell the fuck asleep. And I completely missed a sale. And now it's $30 again, and I just can't. My mind is like, you could have had it for 15, and now it's 30. There's no possible fucking way you can buy that game.
Well, just wait. It'll go back on sale.
That's true. But yeah, so if you don't hear me talk about Turtles, it's because my rookie ass didn't buy it when I had the chance, and I fell asleep.
Yeah. I've been there, done that.
Alrighty.
Man, couches are real fucking comfortable, especially when you're old.
That they are. That they are. Yield, your counts?
So, I am at a level 533 with a trophy count of 11,291 and a platinum count of 217. I earned 2 within an hour on the 31st. I was starting to, no, wasn't 31st, the 29th. I was starting to sweat whether or not I was going to actually get a platinum for July and kind of keep my streak of a platinum a month going. I had Stanley Parable on deck to knock that out and be my July trophy if I didn't get one of the 2 games I was working on done. And by golly, if I didn't pop both of them within an hour of each other. So, and I'll get to that in what I've been playing. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. All right. I am still level 222 with 1,337 trophies. I nearly said platinums. Obviously, that would have been false. And 0 platinums. But, you know, I did earn a bunch of achievements. So I'll give you an update on that in what I've been playing. And finally, Sid is level 895, 27,435 trophies, and 853 platinums. And... you know, continuing on the trophy theme, normally on week to week, we go into Gareth's trophy rarity contest. And unfortunately, he ran into some technical difficulties this week, but there is a little bit of an update. Yield, do you have that up and ready?
I do. So if I recognize your real name to your PSN name, I'll give you the PSN name. But if I don't, you're going to get your real name. because Gareth posted a summarized version on the Trophy Looting Facebook group. So, in Division 1, you have me, Mr. Yield over here, as your new leader, thanks to a top score of 154 points, where I now sit at 353. Nitro sits in second. He also scored in triple digits with 116 and sits at 337. Pee-wee drops to third despite scoring 95 points, but is still in there in the mix at 320. Mr. Collins moved up to fourth from seventh with the second highest score in the division with 129. He also had the rarest trophy of the week coming in maximum football at 0.17%. We have Crook, Marky Frazier, Edge. They all dropped to 5th, 6th, and 7th, respectfully. Daniel Martin, not far behind on 209, sits in 8th. Then there's a gap from 8th to 9th with Callie Wayne and George Smith. Gareth and Joseph Presley all grouped together between 164 and 134 points. Steven Waterfield moved out of the regulation zone with a score of 49 and sits at a total of 119. Rick sits just 5 points back at 114, but still in the regulation zone. CJ drops 2 spots into the regulation zone on 94 points. Tricky stays 16th at 56 points and is suffering from some decay on his ultra-rare trophies earned in Division 2 DLC.
Boy, who called that?
Right? Now on to Division 2. The top 5 all retained their spots from last week. Chris extended his lead at the top to around 120 points, so he's 312 on the season. Josh had a quiet week, scoring 5 points, but remains second at a 191. Travis still occupies third on 125, following a 21-point increase. Lee and Corey remain in contention for the top 3 at this early stage of the season on 116 and 91 points, respectively. There were positional gains from Murray, Riley, and Dodge, who all moved up a place from 6th to 6th, 7th, and 8th. Alex's trophies finally gave up working for him on his legacy points, which meant a minus 7 drop, and he has still yet to earn a trophy this season. But he's still in the running, so what does that say, Alex? You play better games.
Well, you know, I think we always knew that.
Well, yeah. Daryl continued his climb up the table after he started at the bottom after the first week. He rose 3 places to 10th on 46 points. This meant drops for Homer, JT, and Jared, who dropped to 11th, 12th, and 13th, respectfully. Dupes climbed to 14th thanks to a 14-point score. He exchanged places with Kalai, who earned 6 to get to 24 points. Jeremy, David, and Bernardo remain 16th, 17th, and 18th on 15, 10, and 1 point, following single-digit scores this week. That's it.
Alrighty. Thank you, Yield, for reading that out. Thank you, Gareth, for putting that together on short notice, despite what happened to you on your technical difficulties. What can I say? We expect better of you. Moving on, we do have a Sophie's Trophy this week, and in the magic of editing, that'll be stitched in after I finish speaking now.
Hello again, guys. Sid again with your Platinum shoutouts. And we'll get straight to it this week, guys, because I've got a really bad throat this week, so let's get through this and then I can go to bed. Okay, guys. Pee-wee ITFC Farm Slider. I'm not sure whether they're on PS5 or PS4 because I've not been given that information. So, sorry, guys. And then we have NZ Nitro. I love finding wild friends. I love finding cats and pups. And Star Wars Battlefront. Next, we have I Yield to No One with Star Wars Battlefront and Firefighting Simulator, The Squad. And then we have Diego, Resident Evil Revelations. Then we have Cy Tychist with Wife Quest, which is the story of my life, guys. And Ender Magnolia, Bloom in the Mist. Then we have Waterfields 1 with 2 Point Hospital. Redbeard Rick with Brotato. Murray 2011, Coffee Talk. And Dodge Williams with Robocop Rogue City Unfinished Business. So, my favourite for that one, guys, I will have to say it has to be Robocop, because Rogue City was one of my favourite games when it came out. But that bias aside, I think that Resident Evil Revelations is also a really good platinum. Because all the others, I don't really know, to be honest. So, Gaz did send me a list for Platinum of the Month. The list for people who are in the running for Platinum of the Month. I can't remember what it's called, guys. But unfortunately, my throat is killing me. So I'm very sorry. If it's okay with him, I will read that out next week, because hopefully I'll be able to talk properly. So that being said, guys, hope you're all okay. Hope life's treating you all well, and talk to you soon. Keep getting those trophies. Bye.
And thank you again, Sid, for doing yet another Sophie's Trophies. Always love hearing from you. And now we talk about what we've been playing. So, Yield, you had brought up something interesting. Why don't you go first?
So, like I said, I got 2 trophies this week. Right down to the wire. Stanley Parable was on call. I know I got to do the 24-hour trophy first. So I was kind of planning that out. But was able to knock out Star Wars Battlefront with the group. Myself, Nitro, and Killer Shark went into a game, and him and I were both able to get our last online trophies, Killer Shark and I. And then so I was able to then focus on what battle and survival missions I needed to do, and I knocked that out. And then on top of that, a couple of days later, I was able to 100% the game by finishing all the DLC. So double yay for me. But I finished Battlefront one night. I think it was Wednesday night. And I was like, well, I got an hour and a half left before I head to bed. I'm going to work on some Firefighter Simulator. You guys have heard me say that I've, to the part where I'm just driving. I got to get 1,000 kilometers. There's no tracking. There's no go into the menu and see where you're at. You keep driving until it pops. So I'm like, all right, I'll work on this. This will be my August platinum. Because I just didn't know where I was at. 3 trips in and the trophy popped. Almost an hour after I earned the Battlefront platinum. So I was like, okay then. So that's good. Fired up some Star Wars Squadrons. Only because the Battlefront group is pushing for Squadrons as well. And so we are going to torture ourselves with the very much grindy multiplayer part of it. Someone pointed out, and I didn't know, that you can earn almost a quarter of the trophies in Fleet Battle AI solo. And so I started doing that and earned a bunch of trophies. That and Battlefront's a lot of the reason why I'm in first right now, so I won't be there long. And then I played a game, started a game. I can't pronounce the word of it, so I'll spell it. Maybe you guys can tell me, because I'm kind of confused at how I should say it. It's spelled L-A-I-K-A.
Laika.
Laika? Okay. So, Laika Age of Blood. I started playing that game. Picked it up on the past sale. It was $2. I believe it said it was hand-drawn. You're what looks to be like a fox driving around on a motorcycle, which you use your motorcycle to block your fighting birds. Birds have declared war on your tribe. And so you're on a motorcycle. You use the bottom of the bike to basically block the bullets. and then you've got an array of weapons. Right now, I've got, you know, just your handgun, and I just got to the part of the game where I can go unlock a shotgun. And so you drive around, and there's like ramps and stuff in the map, and you do a backflip to reload your gun, and there's a, you can, when the bullet almost hits you, if you hit square, you like slide your bike and you ricochet the bullet back at the person who shot it to you, and you do a forward flip to recharge that. So it's kind of interesting. When I saw the trailer, I first thought kind of like Joe Danger / Excitebike meets a third-person shooter, so to speak. So kind of interesting what I've played so far, but that's it. I've only been playing with those four games this week.
Okay. Alex?
I'm recording again. Just count me in.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So, my tale of what I've been playing is a lot shorter this week. Haven't been playing a ton of games. So really I'm still on the Helldivers and Rocket League grinds. I actually finished the Rocket Pass this week, so
oh, I'm done with that.
I'm just kind of working on extras there. And I'm reminded why after playing Rocket League for an entire season or for a good chunk of a season, you need a break from Rocket League. But yeah, just pumping away at Helldivers, trying to catch up on the War Bonds, and honestly trying to figure out what I want to play next. I don't know. If it wasn't Turtles, I still have the Still Wakes the Deep DLC, but I haven't been enthralled to jump into that because I'm not sure if I want to pay $13 for the DLC, but I mean, I'm sure I'll find something sooner or later here. I mean, God, October's going to get here fast enough, and Ghost of Yote is going to be here soon enough, so... But that's still, you know, 2 months away. So, gotta find something. Gotta find the inspiration.
I don't have much inspiration for you.
I don't have something as succulent as Tales of Iron like Matt has to play.
Look at that Laika game, Alex. You may kind of like that.
Okay. Oh, also, Matt, I did not know invites expire, so the invite you sent me to your Helldivers group, your Discord, expired before I accepted it, so... I'm sorry.
I can send you one that doesn't expire. That's fine.
Ah, excellent. Yeah. So that's basically it for me, but.
Yeah, no. And, you know, here's the fun thing. When Alex did join us for some Helldivers, we were a fully fleshed foursome. So we were going through. Then my one friend had to leave. And shortly after that, we had a 40 super credit round. I was very happy with that.
That's nice. It's always good when you get those rounds where you get like 40, 50.
I have been very lucky in my days where I've found at least like quite a few stashes of 100, but there's been times when I found those, the bunkers, the vaunted bunkers with three sets of super credits in them. And those are real nice. There's actually, I was telling Matt about this the other day when we were playing, there's a warp pack in the control group war bond, which I've seen people use to warp into bunkers.
Yeah,
negating the need for another person. So, there is that possibility once you get that you may not need another person to get into bunkers.
So that's interesting. So I saw a video on that, and I posted it on my personal Facebook page, kind of saying, you know, take advantage of it before they patch it. And I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he said that it was that he read somewhere that it was designed that way. That people have been asking for a way to you know, open the bunkers with just one person because, you know, what if you're not playing with a group of people or playing solo? And so this kind of was the answer to the community's way of getting in the bunkers without having two people.
There's no way it wasn't intentional because they would think of everything that people could do with that. I mean, honestly... I mean, yeah, you could use the warp pack to get away from enemies, like if you're struggling. But what else are you going to use the warp pack for? You can only go short distance, I think. I haven't bought it yet, but based on what I've seen this guy use it for, it was really more of a short distance thing. That's pretty much the primary use of it, I would think.
Well, I've seen them use it as an escape function, where you know warp beyond enemies and and whatnot.
Yeah, no, and like I said, I could see you definitely using that, because obviously with the Voteless and the Terminage, you can get swarmed real easily, but is there any more beneficial use for it than getting into a bunker?
I mean, I think that's the most beneficial.
I haven't unlocked it yet.
Yeah, it had to be intentional, and honestly, like, you know, yeah, I get what someone's saying, like, hey, use this before they take it away, but really, like, what, you have, if they were going to take it away, you have, like, a night or a week to do super credits? Like, I mean, really, the only bit, that's nice, but it's not really all that much of a benefit. You would just want it for the long haul. That's where you're going to benefit the most from it, so, I don't know, I think this is intentional. I think it's going to stay in the game the way it is.
Well, yeah, I hope so, because I know I'm unlocking it, and I'm going to use it when I do solo dives on level one or two do a super credit farm.
Alrighty. Well, if that's all you have been playing, I'll go into
I would like to hear what you've been playing.
Well, Helldivers for one.
Well, I knew that.
Really?
I was there. You killed me with your laser dog.
Well, to be fair, it was Steve's laser dog that I picked up. So, frankly, it's all Steve's fault.
Steve wasn't in control of the laser dog.
Well, neither was I.
Well, that's your problem right there. You got to train that thing better.
Well, it seems like it was your problem more than mine.
And then you're like, I don't pay you to die, Matt. And I was like, why'd you kill me then?
Just wait until he gets the fire dog.
Yeah, well, I need them to make one first.
Need them laser sentries, which actually is in the newest Warbond, so get some laser sentries out there. Well, shit happens. That's why you got reinforcements.
Yep, absolutely. So that was a couple fun rounds, and I appreciated Alex jumping in with us. But yes, we definitely used the Discord because the sound coming through the normal audio was really tough to hear them talking and then trying to discern you. And then every time I spoke to you, it was obviously double echoing in their game plus Discord. So it was a challenge, but we'll get you in Discord. Then also more of Doom the Dark Ages, got some different achievements and whatnot in there, but I acquired all upgrades for a single shield room. If you know what that is, then you know I'm having a fun time with the game. I am in chapter 17 of 22, so I'm quickly coming towards the end of the game, and I've been having a blast with it. Also played more of Peak with my friends. This is that game where you crash land, you have to climb a procedurally generated mountain. So that way we can find stuff, you know, use it to get up the mountain. We got past the first area, what's considered the first level, and the next area was like a snow-covered portion of the mountain, and sometimes you'd get freezing winds that come through, so you have to find cover. And we got as far as we could, but we ultimately died, just learning more and more as we go on. Let's see. Anything else? No, I played some Donkey Kong Bonanza, but not a whole lot. This week was a lot of me working and resting and then doing stuff for the house. So that's still happening. So not a whole heck of a lot played this week, unfortunately.
But life be like that sometimes, Matt.
Life do be do.
Adulting sucks.
Yeah. Remember when we were kids and we wanted to be adults so we could do whatever we want?
I want to be a kid again.
Yeah, but then you got no money and you got to rely on other people to buy your games for you. And that don't always work out in your favor.
So that is the setback. But the schedule was way easier.
Yeah. Alrighty. So, first article this week is all playable from August 5th, so by the time you're hearing this, you'll probably be able to get these games, is our monthly coverage of the PlayStation Plus monthly games for August, as written in the PlayStation blog. We've got, evidently, there's PlayStation 15th anniversary avatars, so there's that. Evidently, it's featuring fan-favorite titles like Cyberpunk 2077, Hogwarts Legacy, Diablo 4, God of War Ragnarok, and Twisted Metal. Which, evidently, the new Twisted Metal season is out, so if you have Peacock, go take a look.
They were doing a big Comic-Con thing about that. Anthony Mackie, Samoa Joe, Stephanie Beatrice, they were all at Comic-Con talking about it, so. I still haven't finished season one. I need to go back and finish that. I'm halfway through, but yeah, I, I want to crack into season two because I think that's when they start more of the twisted metal we're used to.
Yes.
How is that? I've been thinking about starting to watch that.
I mean, so, it's good. It's just the first season isn't what you're going to expect. It's setting up a second season, which is more in line with what you'd expect to see from a twisted metal show.
Okay.
So basically, it becomes twisted metal in like the final episode of the first season. But the second season is more of what you know. It features characters that you know, and definitely the car combat. So definitely give it a try. I still think, despite all that, it's still worth it as a first season.
Yeah, I mean, Sweet Tooth is in there pretty early. So he's, you know, you're not like having to wait to see the characters you know. Sweet Tooth is already in there. So, and I saw a shot of the guy who plays Calypso. And I as soon as I saw that actor, I'm like, I bet that's Calypso. Just because I, you know, dude looked like Calypso.
So as far as the games coming out this month, you've got Lies of P for PS4, PS5, DayZ, the PS4 version, My Heroes 1 Justice, PS4 version. I'm sorry, My Heroes 1 Justice 2 for PS4. So Lies of P is the ever-growing genre of Souls-like games where it's a very fantastical Pinocchio type of game. And it's featuring all of the things that you might find in Pinocchio's lore. Very dark and gothic. And DayZ is a popularized open world zombie survival game. DayZ was originally a mod for Arma, and they eventually branched out and made their own game. And, you know, I had looked at it once in a while. It's just, you think it's all fun and games until you drop in the middle of nowhere and you have nothing and you die before you even get to the first town. Because you died of starvation, lack of supplies. And My Heroes 1 Justice 2 is a 3D arena fighter with the My Hero Academia anime roster. So got a lot of going for it.
My Hero Macadamia, that sounds nuts.
double entendre. So I don't know, Alex, any of those games doing it for you this month?
You know, I'm not one for open world games, especially zombified ones. I'm not saying the game's not good. It's just I'm sick of zombies, and I haven't really wanted to play a zombie game in a long, long time. I haven't really wanted to watch a zombie show in a long, long time. Although the 28 years later, I kind of wanted to watch that. But My Hero Academia, just was never into it. Got no... Arena Fighter's good. I like that. But the fact, the source material is just not for me. I just had never had any kind of tie to it. It was a little bit past my generation. And then I'm very continually intrigued by Lies of P. The whole Pinocchio thing. Again, like, the focus on difficult combat, I don't know if it would be for me, but taking an adaptation like that and putting it into like a Souls-like structure, it's like, are you fucking kidding me? How do you pull this off? So I'm forever interested by that game, perennially interested in by that game and fascinated by it, but I don't know if I want to pull the trigger on it. Granted, it is free, and I am looking for something to play, but I also, again, just don't really think that the Souls-style games are my type of game. They're just not for me. I like some challenge, but the kind of challenge they provide just doesn't make me enjoy what I'm playing. It just makes me frustrated and angry. So
I'll jump in here real quick. Lies of P has three difficulty settings. Very easy, easy, and standard.
So I can be pissed off when I suck at easy too.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's fine. But no, that game is extremely fascinating. So I don't know. It may be the straw that breaks the camel's back and makes me dip my toes back in those waters, but I'm not entirely sure if I want to play it. I'm kind of, even at the price of free or with subscription, I'm kind of hesitant, but it's all in the style of the game, which, and this was like, it wasn't really all that successful, right? It was more of like a cult hit, right?
You know, I think it started out as a cult hit and it started growing more and more, and they actually got a DLC for it. So that tells me that it did well enough for them to warrant additional gameplay.
Yeah, but to be fair, they also could have, depending on how long after it came out, they could have always planned to do that or had it.
I think that was it to begin with, but you know, with game publishers and developers these days, if something is a success, they'll cancel your work as soon as possible.
But yeah, no, I mean, overall, I'd say it sounds like a pretty good month, you know, even if I'm not championing any particular game from the lineup.
Okay. Yield, anything here that you're interested in?
So I've always been curious of Lies of P. Everybody has always said good things about it. I was going to check, I'll still check out the trailer and whatnot, but now that you guys say Souls-like combat, yeah, I don't know if I want to beat my head against the brick wall like that. But that doesn't mean I won't at least check out the trailer and see if I'm intrigued by it. The other two games, I recognized DayZ when I saw that that's what they were dropping, and then I was, you know, was reading up on it and saw that, you know, it's a 60 player lobby and you fight for survival, and I'm like, oh, awesome, I get to play a game where I get griefed by individuals, let alone the zombies hunting me. So as much as I would be kind of intrigued to maybe play that, my evening of relaxing does not include getting griefed by people who just want to grief people. So probably gonna pass on that. And My Hero Academia was never in my wheelhouse of anime, and it's a fighting game, which I suck at horribly, so I'll pass on that. But I'm gonna try to check out Lies of P.
Yeah, I think if I were still doing Plus, I would try Lies of P, just because I had seen it on sale on Steam for a number of times, and I was like, maybe I'd give it a try when it gets low enough, and then obviously for the price of free, you can't argue. But DayZ, like I said, I tried the modded Arma version, and I haven't tried the actual standalone game, because when it came out in a very bad state. It was not fun by any means, and you know, there's what one YouTuber once said, that the attention to detail versus the fascination with detail. It's like, how realistic do you need to get in a game where you go in, you drop, and you don't have any fun because it sucks just trying to get from point A to point B? And to your point, Yield, you want to play a game and suddenly you get everything, you get set up, you get to a place, and before you can even figure something out, somebody snipes you from down the road because they want your stuff. It's a rough game to get into when you've had people mastering it for years. But for PS Plus, I'd say give it a try. And like you, I'm not a huge fan of the newer style fighting games, so I would probably skip. All right, next, kind of returning back to an article we covered last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, the whole payment processors kind of providing unofficial censorship of games. Basically, it's a trio of articles here, and let me get through all three before we roundtable this. Because when Steam came out and talked about, hey, listen, we're having issues that games are no longer being allowed to publish on our site because they're not meeting guidelines such as MasterCard and whatnot, including adult-oriented games with certain themes that people find objectionable. And this upset the game-playing crowd, and this was soon followed by itch.io removing their article. However, they started relisting adult games that were free because they didn't have to go through any payment processors or payment system. So gamers started really going after Visa and MasterCard, and this actually prompted, the first I've seen in this case, was MasterCard came out and put out a statement. It says, MasterCard has not evaluated any game or required restrictions of any activity on game creator sites and platforms, contrary to media reports and allegations. And basically, they just say that our payment network follows standard based on the rule of law. So they came out and said, listen, wasn't us. And then Valve comes back out and said, a spokesman for Kotaku, in a statement to Kotaku, a spokesperson for Valve said, while MasterCard did not communicate with it directly, concerns did come through the payment processor and banking intermediaries. They said payment processors rejected Valve's current guidelines for moderating illegal content on Steam, citing MasterCard's rule 5.12.7, So Valve took that as, well, it's MasterCard's rule. So therefore, MasterCard is saying that we can't have these types of games. So we had to make new guidelines that this payment processor would accept. So it's Valve said this. MasterCard came out and said, well, not us. And Valve came back out and said, but your payment processors are quoting your guideline as the reason for this. And the final article in all of this is Good Old Games decided to make a statement, and they offered 13 free, not safe for work games as it launches anti-censorship campaign freedomtobuy.games. So essentially they put out 13 games that you could buy for free on Good Old Games that, you know, you don't want to be playing while at work or maybe around other people at gym. And that came out to say over 1 million people downloaded or bought, quote unquote, the package of games, and that they actually ran into technical difficulties with the site going down and are giving people extra time that was originally open for 48 hours. So all of that's to say, and I think it's safe, it's probably good to note that most of the games that they offered wouldn't necessarily be caught up in the guidelines that the company was fighting back on, but one of those games is Postal 2, which has its own notoriety for its extreme violence and themes. So all that saying is that there's a huge fight going on about what is censorship, that payment processors might have unfair oversight on companies and what can be published. And again, all of this came from the Australian group Collective Shout publishing letters saying that they reject games with certain themes, including themes of rape, incest, and other objectionable content that they find reprehensible. So, all that to say, this is a clusterfuck. There's a lot of he said, she said going on, and it seems like Good Old Games is just trying to put a statement out as well and bring this attention. Alex, all that going on, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, but instead of just talking or putting statements out, GOG is doing. You know, they're giving away free games that are, you know, not safe for work. So I'd never expected MasterCard or any of these companies would come out and say, yeah, we did this, openly admit it. There seems to be a lack of communication or some issue, some stymie in the communication between Valve and the payment processor. So maybe MasterCard never intended for this to happen, or, you know, maybe something along the way went against their guidelines, and I'm not sure, but we're getting, like Matt said, a he said, she said here. So where's the truth? Somewhere in between. And I don't expect MasterCard or any payment processor to admit that they, if they were having issues with the content sold on digital stores, because it's not their job to rate it. It's not their job to sell it. It's just their job to process the payments. So hopefully this gets worked out, and it just was a lack of communication, and Steam can sell what they want, because Steam does have their own guidelines, and we should trust that Steam can sell what they want, they find appropriate, and let the public, the buyers, the customers decide, you know, hey, I don't want this, or hey, this isn't appropriate, and, you know, report stuff as necessary, but not MasterCard or any other cardholder's job or to judge this. So hopefully their statement is true, but Valve saying, hey, then why did this stuff get rejected underneath this rule of yours? I mean, it muddies the water significantly. So we don't really know. We just can hope that this goes away and Steam can choose to sell whatever they want.
Ready? Yep.
So it's kind of no surprise that eventually somebody would sit there and offer a bunch of free, not safe for work games to kind of be like, you can't tell us what we can and can't buy. So I want to say a part of me is kind of proud of the individuals where, you know, people are adults, they can pick what they want, you know, it's not up to, I'm gonna say Big Brother, but you know what I'm saying, it's not up to Big Brother to go no, You can't buy this. So, good for them to kind of sticking it to the man. Even though MasterCard is denying everything, but I find that hard to believe. If it's in your terms of service, or if it's in your you know, terms, then you had to put it out there.
So it's an interesting concept, because you talk about, you know, is the content legal? And, you know, certainly video games are a First Amendment protected item. And obviously, you know, this is a global impact. This is not just the U.S., but here in the U.S., talk about it, that video games for the most part are going to be a protected property that people can make whatever they want. And you know, whether or not that includes selling it, that's a little bit different. However, actually, you know, maybe it's not that different. Because the aspect is that this guideline is meant to prevent paying for illegal things. Like, you can't go on the street and buy crack cocaine with your MasterCard, legal item. But if you go and buy all those precursor items, you know, that's perfectly legal. So you look at what MasterCard is instituting, saying, listen, all of our processes allow the purchase of legal items. And then Valve is saying, well, your payment processors say this guideline rejected our guidelines because your rule doesn't allow it. It's indirect censorship, or as Morty would say, that's censorship with extra steps. And it'll just be interesting to see where this goes. And I will put this out there. Yes, I was one of the 1 million that grabbed Good Old Games, because, you know, I'm never one to turn down free games, whatever type they are. And I'll be interested to see how this continues on, because I'm sure this fight is not over, not for a while. But the fight with our wallets continues, coming from WCCF Tech. Nintendo is raising the price of the Nintendo Switch in the US, while the Nintendo Switch 2 price stays the same for now. Basically, this means that the original Switch is going from $300 to $340, the Switch Lite from $200 to $230, and the Switch OLED from $350 to $400. And this also means that some of the prices, according to the article, are other countries are going up. But not only that, controllers are going up. So the NES controller that they have online for Nintendo Switch Online games is going from 60 to 70. The SNES controllers, SNES, is going from 30 to 35. The N64 Genesis controllers is 50 to 55. $16 amiibos are now going to $20, with some two packs. $30 amiibos now going to $40. And the Alarmo is going from 100 to 110. I know I just threw out a lot of numbers there. You know, Nintendo certainly isn't the first company to increase the price of their console that has been out for a while. However, it's interesting that their last gen items are going up in price compared to their current system. So you can go out there and get a Switch 1 for $340, or you can spend the extra $90 and get a Switch 2, which is starting to become more and more regularly available on the shelf. Alex, comments?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Nintendo does not want to affect the sales of their newest generation console, the Switch 2, but obviously the sales for the Switch are going to slow down, so I guess they're trying to say, hey, it's still a better deal, get it while you can, but we're going to get as much money out of it as we can. Personally, to me, it doesn't make any sense, but especially on the controllers, why are you raising the price of controllers? Maybe the console, I understand, but so yeah, it's I shouldn't say I'm surprised, but it's just like, why? Like, why? I mean, I'm sorry, Nintendo controllers are already too expensive. I mean, some of them are already too expensive, but just making last gen stuff more expensive, I don't know. It's just Nintendo hasn't shown me why I should pay so much for their new console or their new games. So I'm kind of in this weird zone where I don't really feel the need to spend on anything on Nintendo, because I just don't feel like they've shown me why all this stuff needs to cost as much as it does. You know, if I'm if I got my Switch years ago in like 2018, it's going to cost more to buy one now. It's like, why the hell? I'd not surprised. Also don't understand why, except for the fact you're trying to squeeze as much money out of the last gen as you can while you can, because it's still cheaper than the Switch 2. And it's harder for the Switch 2.
And I'm afraid this is going to affect the Nintendo run for most sold consoles of all time.
Yeah, you've been on that kick for a while now, and you've been real happy to see that surpass the PlayStation 2. Well, how far away is it? Do you know?
Let me see. Number of Switch consoles sold lifetime is, as of early August 2025, Nintendo Switch sold a lifetime of 153.1 million units. So about 7 million units away.
I don't know. This may impede their chance to get there, but they also may not care. I mean, honestly, does Nintendo care as much as fans do about that?
Well, that goes back to kind of the question and some comments I saw about, you know, last week we discussed PlayStation is likely going to start coming to, you know, cross-platform with some of their games. And people said, well, Nintendo's the only holdout. Somebody in our group put an article up that was like, Nintendo doesn't need to. They're not in a bad place. Let's see. Tricky actually posted it, and this was a Twitter comment. Said, Nintendo will never share their exclusives for many reasons. Nintendo makes money for both hardware and software. Nintendo consoles are generally weaker than the competitors, so why would someone buy a Nintendo Switch 2 when Nintendo games launch on stronger systems? Nintendo characters and IP are their core identity. This is not the case with Sony and Xbox. Nintendo profits are going, not shrinking. They have no incentive to change strategies. Instead of changing strategies, Nintendo is adding new revenue through movies and theme parks. Nintendo exclusives sell like 3 times to 5 times Xbox and PlayStation exclusives. Why share when people buy them already? So, going back to your comment, Alex, I don't think Nintendo cares. They just care about making something profitable and continue selling, because frankly, after the Wii U and the GameCube to a lesser extent, they cannot continue to fail in the market. They have high expectations set up.
But you said it there. Well, they're usually profiting off of hardware, so weren't they profiting on the Switch already before raising the price?
Yeah, but we also know that the cost of manufacturing has gone up. How much? I don't know. Yield, your thoughts?
I just find it weird that they're raising the price of you know, the last gen game or the last gen console. I don't know if anybody's ever done that. And I kind of agree with what you're saying. You know, maybe they're raising the price so that way, you know, you drop an extra $40, you're getting a Switch 2, so that just makes the better deal. I'm just perplexed by it. You know, you're raising the price of everything. Normally, you lower the price of everything to get rid of the inventory.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're willing to get rid of the inventory, quote unquote, as you, I think you mean it, because generally speaking, when you release a new thing, you just want all of your old inventory out.
Yeah,
I think they still have plans for the Switch and intend to continue selling it for a good long time, giving people a somewhat cheaper option. So not as much as before. The next article I was actually going to skip. I'll just briefly talk about it because I'll wait for Tricky to come back, since this is his type of game. I don't know. Do either of you play the Darksiders
series? I mean, I do. I've played and platinumed 3 of the Darksiders games. Darksiders, Darksiders 2, and Darksiders Genesis. Didn't touch 3 because I heard it was not good, but I do like Darksiders quite a bit.
I've wanted to play them and have just never dove into them.
Yeah, so anyway, what I'm going into is that Darksiders 4 was announced with the teaser trailer. We'll wait till Tricky comes back to kind of get his thoughts on it, but that's what I just wanted to point that out.
Didn't they have a teaser trailer for it a little while ago? Like,
I don't recall.
Half a year ago? I'm pretty sure that there was a show where the company, and I can't remember exactly what the name of the company is now because THQ is gone. Is it Nordic? THQ Nordic or whatever?
I believe so.
There was some kind of show that they did where that entire company's games were on display, and I think they did a teaser for it to where we knew a new Darksiders game was coming, but maybe they just didn't announce that it was officially Darksiders 4. But...
All right.
Darksiders 4, a good time to have all four horsemen in the game.
Absolutely. That's why I didn't really go over the article. I was going to go over it with Tricheon, but we will discuss more next week when he is back, if he's back. And now we get on to our listener questions, which we actually had a bunch this week. Trying to go in order that they were asked, but it looks like Curtis first came in here and asked, what is your favorite game so far this year? Do either of you two have an answer ready? Otherwise, I can definitely.
Well, I'll go with new games this year, not just games that I've just purchased and played. Mine has been Roadcraft. So far this year.
Roadcraft.
Yes.
What's that?
It's made by the people who did Mudrunners, SnowRunners, Expedition. And so you are working for a disaster recovery firm, and you are tasked with going into a new natural disaster area, whether it had been an earthquake, hit by a hurricane, whatever. And you go into the map, and then you're tasked with jobs of, you know, go and get this factory running, you know, and rebuild this bridge, rebuild these roads, move this equipment from here to here to pump out, you know, a mine or whatever. So, and you use different equipment. You use a front end loader. You use a crane. Dump trucks to dump sand, pavers to pave the road, stuff like that. So if you're into that kind of games, that's what it is. I really enjoyed Mudrunner and SnowRunner and what I've played of Expeditions. So, but I got sidetracked off of Roadcraft to do these other boosting games that I've been doing. So I need to get back into Roadcraft because the DLC drops, the season pass DLC drops next month, September, I think they said. So
all I gotta say is dumps like a truck.
what
baby, move your butt.
Yeah. All right, Alex, do you have a favorite game so far this year
for all the Cisco fans out there? Hopefully Cisco also likes this game. Really, I've only played one game that was brand new this year, and that's Tales of Iron 2, Whiskers of Winter, which I really enjoyed, so that is going to be my answer. Yeah, it's weird. Like I said, because I've relied so much on the PlayStation Plus catalog to play a lot of games over the last couple of years that I've had it, a lot of the games that I've played are just from previous years. You know, Dave the Diver, stuff like that. So, but I did enjoy Whiskers of Winter as a really good game. So, Tales of Iron 2. And who would have thought with how much I love the first game?
I would have thought. No secret, Monster Hunter Wilds is my number one this year. It's what I've put the most time into.
Mario
I still
Kart?
Go back to.
It's not Mario Kart.
No, it's not Mario Kart. No. No, I enjoy Mario Kart. I
so what you're
say
saying
I'm
is Mario
Kart
sucks.
Enthusiast.
Matt, you're saying it sucks.
Only in comparison to Monster Hunter, because if you compare it to DK, it's the best game of all time.
What are you talking about? You don't like Bonanza that much?
No, I'm sorry. I meant Donkey Kong Racing.
That's not a game. Playa.
I forgot what I ragged on. What was it? Crash Team
Racing?
Crash Team
Racing.
Right.
No, yeah, you're not. No, I think you were going for Diddy Kong Racing.
I don't know. Obviously, I don't care.
You're bumfuzzled, Matt.
I am. So Monster Hunter Wilds, this is my jam. Despite all the negative feedback it's gotten from its performance, I still enjoy the hell out of it. Next question. Will writes in, goes, did y'all get your Nintendo purchases in before the market condition price adjustments? And I did say Nintendo because that is what he wrote. And then Joe Priestley.
That sounds like a dating site for nerds, Nintendo.
It is. Joe Priestley writes in, discount reduction.
Shots fired. Unfortunately, no, I have not. But, you know, an extra $40, I'll just buy a Switch 2.
Well, extra 90.
Oh,
unless you were talking about it. Unless you were going for an OLED.
Gotcha.
Original OLED Switch. Alex, no Nintendo purchases, right?
No, and I actually sent the group these pictures the other day when I was at Best Buy. And they had $40 single Amiibos. $40 single Amiibos. Ridiculous. No, I haven't. Yep. And I have no desire to buy anything Nintendo until they get their... And again, until they show me why I need to pay so much money for this. Like, I'm sorry, if DK Bonanza is a $70 game, then why... The only reason Mario Kart... And we talked about this before, Matt. The only reason Mario Kart is an $80 game is because they know they can charge us for that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Next two questions from Daryl. Both of them have to deal with SummerSlam. We will wait till Tricky is back for that. Because I don't even... I know, Yield, you haven't watched it. Alex, did you watch SummerSlam yet?
No, but Tricky, you know, wasted. I was with me and some friends. I went out with some friends to watch the new Fantastic Four movie, which is very good, by the way. So if you're looking to see it, or you've, you know, kind of given up on Marvel for a bit, maybe give Fantastic Four a chance. It's pretty good. But yeah, we weren't at home to watch SummerSlam, and Tricky definitely spoiled a certain match for me. Bastard he is. But he also didn't know I wasn't watching it, so he didn't do it intentionally, but... No, I went back and looked at all the results, so nothing's going to be spoiled for me.
Oh. So we'll wait till Tricky gets back to see if he watched it to answer those questions next week, if I remember. If not, oh well. Sorry, Daryl. That's what you get for asking a wrestling question on a gaming podcast.
On a week where Tricky's not here.
Rick has two questions for us. The first one being, does anyone else sometimes make the Assassin's Creed logo with their hands on the wall while you're taking a pee? I don't believe I asked that question.
I don't believe I have done that.
No, but, you know, who knows? Like, maybe a smiley face? I don't know. I'm not artistically driven there, Rick. I can't be that, you know, fancy with my drawings on the pee wall.
I can't say that I've ever tried to make logos.
You have Rick to use your breath for that, too, right? You have to use your breath to throw it on the wall. Like, are you, like, were you talking... I guess he didn't say with a pen, he said with a finger, but what kind of sorcery is this there, Rick?
So the final question comes to Rick. What is your favorite object in space, be it something in our solar system, something man-made, a galaxy, rogue planet, or certain black hole? And he replies even further. His is Sagittarius, a supermassive black hole, the center of the Milky Way. That mofo is hiding the Reapers, and we need Shepard to be born in the next 200 years. Didn't see that one coming, Rick.
It's a clever answer. Also to note, I am a Sagittarius, which means I'm officially Rick's favorite host on this show. Yield might also be a Sagittarius.
Yeah, did I.
All right, well, we tie for the favorite host on the show.
We tie, we share.
All right, well, I can appreciate taking a back seat. So, you know, if you ask me about my favorite object in space, probably the sun.
Oh, goddamn, you stole mine.
Well, because
we needed to live.
Going first.
We needed to live.
I'm gonna go a toss up between a black hole and the wormhole because you can't explore them.
I mean, Alex, you could say the Earth because, you know, as much as we need the sun, without the Earth, we'd be screwed as well.
We'd just be floating through space.
No, Yield and I tied for the favorite host, for Rick's favorite host, so I think I'll tie for you on the sun answer as well.
Yeah. So I too saw Fantastic Four, and there was a certain teleport scheme that was happening.
Yeah.
And that scheme, without going into spoilers, involves moving an object, a very large object. And I actually saw the movie with Kali and my brother and my best friend Keith. And we said, well, what if it just moved the one object and not all the things on that object?
Well, then a certain someone saved all of humanity. If you know, you know. My.
Yeah. All right. So that is for the questions. Thank you for writing in with the questions this week. On to our topic of the week. So Sony has been fighting a battle in court for a while.
Which one?
And this being a Sony podcast, many of them, but this one specifically involving cheat tools developed for PSP games.
Oh, I thought you misspelled it on the thing. I thought it said cheese. You meant to write cheese on the agenda, and you actually did.
Did I
cheat?
Yeah.
No, I was hoping it was about cheese and not cheat.
I would. You know, maybe we could develop cheese tools for our PlayStations.
That'd be lovely.
So
that'd be me making my own charcuterie plate while I play PlayStation.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So basically, since 2012, they've been fighting in German courts, and the German Federal Court of Justice dismissed an appeal by Sony in a legal dispute against two manufacturers of cheat tools. Let's see. It says here that Sony had filed the lawsuit in 2012. I guess they were counting on the rapture not happening. And the Court of Justice of European Union for an assessment. It's basically in the ruling, the BGH now agrees with the classification of the European Court of Justice, which also does not see any copyright infringement in such tools. And this is because they said the tools developed do not alter the source code. Meaning that, you know, people can go out there, make things like the Game Shark or other items. That, and the specifically, game this genie, is about the Game
Genie. The best genie. One ever.
The best one ever. The lawsuit was specifically about the tools Action Replay PSP and Tilt FX. They were distributed on add-on modules that are plugged into the Sony PSP mobile console. Using their menus, they can activate cheat commands in video games that were not intended by the developers. The software runs parallel to the actual game. So basically, the court said, listen, Sony, it's not copyright infringement. They don't touch your source code. So suck it up, Buttercup. Sony subsidiary Bungie had filed a lawsuit in 2021 against a company, Phoenix Digital, whose website Aim Junkies offers tools that players can use to gain an advantage in Destiny 2, and members of the jury decided that Phoenix Digital must pay Sony $63,000 in damages because it did alter the source code. So some interesting developments there when it comes to use of cheat tools. I mean, if back in the day companies went after Game Genie or Game Shark for that, we wouldn't have the tools like we do today. I think this is, again, a very important distinction, an important thing to talk about when you consider certain tools that are meant to enhance gameplay, whether it be mods, whether it's an actual unit that you plug into your console, are meant to give people something that they otherwise wouldn't be able to do in games. I remember I beat Legend of Legaia using a Game Shark to give myself all the different things in the game. And it allowed me to complete that long game in a short amount of time, which was enjoyable to me. Alex, have you ever made use of any cheat tools other than Game Genie, which you indicated was the best ever?
I don't know why you had to. I was about to get really excited talking about the Game Genie because it plugged right into the top of your console. But, or no, it
was Game Genie. Were you
in the NES? It plugged into the. You put your cartridge into it, slot. And then you plug the cartridge Game Genie combo into the NES, right?
Now the Genesis, you plugged it in and then plugged it in the top, which made for a very weird and awkward setup because you'd have the Game Genie, then you'd put let's go back. You would put in the 32X, then you put in the Game Genie. Then you put in Sonic and Knuckles, and then you put in a game on top of Sonic and Knuckles, like making for a leaning tower of games.
Yeah, there's a reason why that thing wasn't successful. But no, I used the Game Genie growing up, and a lot of times now, like, you got to a certain point in games, like really the PlayStation era, where cheats were built into the game themselves. So you would go on like Cheat Code Central or whatever, or these other websites, and you would look up like cheat inputs that you could put in to unlock certain things, like in Twisted Metal cars and whatnot. Or you could, like, you know, in Twisted Metal Black, you could do God Mode, invulnerability, and you could enter that in and earn that cheat. So a lot of times, you know, as we grew up, cheats began to be built into games themselves. Excuse me. You didn't need a Game Genie or a Game Shark for that. So, but yeah, no, I mean, I haven't used any kind of device hardware like that for cheats in quite a long time since the Game Genie. And I know you mentioned mods, Matt, but that actually would change the source code, right? I don't know how mods work. They're only on PC. They're not on consoles, so.
Well, it depends. I mean, consoles that are modified themselves may be able to have mods run. But mods, it depends on what they're actually doing on the game. I mean, sometimes it's modifying an INI file, and an INI file isn't necessarily source code. It's a document the code refers to when looking at modifiers. Is that considered source code? In many cases, probably not. But there are definitely some mods that will go in and alter source code, the way it reads, the way it processes out. So, you know, that obviously is an issue, because to do that, you have to mirror or mimic the source code in your mod, or at least as I understand, I'm not a mod expert. So just things to consider if you're out there coding stuff.
Well, and I initially asked, why would Sony bring this lawsuit to this be another legal battle for them to fight? But then again, I'm like, well, they're a platform holder, and they're going to exert as much control over their platforms as they possibly can. So, there you go.
Oh. Yield, you cheating out there?
You know, I always wanted a Game Genie as a kid, never got one. So no, the only cheating codes I ever used was the ones printed in Nintendo Power or the early days of the internet when you could go to... forget what website. There was a couple of websites that you could go to, and then you could get codes for games that unlock stuff. But those were codes in the game, so I don't have a problem with what the German company is doing, because as the courts have stated so far, that they're not dorking with the source code, so they're not hacking anything. So I'm okay with that. You know, and I don't feel Sony has a leg to stand on. If they're messing with their source code, then yeah, you've got a leg to stand on. But if they're not, and if they're running parallel with it, as Matt said, then, you know, enjoy it.
Yeah, ultimately here, what it means is that there's a win for people who want to go out there and mod games without touching the source code, meaning that, hey, you know, now there's precedence that, at least in some court, to say this isn't copyright, we're not touching the source code, so F off. It's just one of those things of again, are companies overstepping their boundaries in the control of their media? You know, we already have so many discussions that you don't own the game, you license for a copy of the game. And
you're,
you know,
renting this like, game.
You are indeed renting, and companies like Ubisoft want to control what you can or can't do with that. And to a degree, you know, this kind of goes back to the Nintendo bricking your console if they detect you're modding it. You know, to do that, you have to circumvent certain security protocols. And in many cases, in certain countries, doing so is illegal. You know, you're allowed to legitimate backups of your games, and if you sell your main copy or lose it, you're not supposed to have your backup, which, you know, kind of defeats the purpose. What is the purpose of a backup then?
You let one of your friends borrow one of your games, and move away without fucking giving it back to you.
Yeah, in which case, Nintendo will brick your console because it's detecting two similar copies running at the same time.
Well, I'm talking about like an NES game.
Yeah.
Or if you want to go to, like, a Genesis game.
Or if you want to preserve a game.
But then again, by the law, because you no longer have the original copy of the game, would you then have to destroy your backups legally?
Technically, yes.
Even if it's stolen from you.
Technically, yes. Which, again, begs the question, what's the purpose of a backup? All right. Well, again, more to really come in this, because... you certainly know that as companies come up with new court cases and fighting against what we can or can't do with our software or hardware, Trophy Whores will be here to cover that said.
Yeah, at some point, Ubisoft's going to need to be in the news again, so they're going to have to say something about how we don't own games.
Yeah, and as usual, it'll be something stupid. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up, this incredibly short show?
No. Not at all.
All right, then, Alex, why don't you give your shout-outs and start bringing us home.
Oh, me? Okay. I want to give a shout-out to the listeners, the fans, the fuel to the fire that is Trophy Whores, our amazing community. Thank you all for continuing to support us. spreading the love, listening to the shows, downloading, submitting questions. However you support the show, we appreciate you so very much. Give a shout out to my co-host Matt and Yield tonight, as well as Tricky, who's actually at work for once. I don't know. I guess he's working tonight. Working that long distance shift over in Morocco. So enjoy the food there, Tricky, and we'll see you hopefully. Hopefully it's not a 2-week trip, and we'll see you back here next week. Last but not least, give a shout out to my awesome and loving girlfriend Ashley. I love you, hun. And I think that'll do me there, partner. I think we need to hand this over, this here lasso to Yield, and he can round up some doggies with his own shout outs.
Perfect. Then Yield, you do just that.
So shout out to Matt and Alex for recording this evening. Shout out to Tricky for, wow, what a surprise, working on a Sunday. And that's not a shot. It's just, he makes really good money working on a Sunday. If my plant offered me a Sunday, I would take it because it's good money. Shout out to everybody who submitted a question. Shout out to all the pimps and the madams of the whoredom. Thank you for downloading, listening, playing games with us, hanging out. Shout out to the Star Wars Battlefront boosting group. Not going to list all you guys and gals, but that was a really good group of gamers to game with. I've said it a couple times on the show. We're now rolling into squadrons because a lot of us have it, and we kind of enjoyed playing with each other, so we're going to roll right into squadrons. So that'll be a heck of a grind. Shout out to Gareth for his competition and all he does for the community. Shout out to V for all the behind-the-scenes stuff that she does. Shout out to my aunt and uncle for hosting a family reunion. It was kind of nice to see some of the cousins I haven't seen in a while. And that'll do it for me.
Alrighty, as for me, shout out to our community. Shout out to Daryl, Curtis, Rick, JP, and so that was it for the questions. Thank you very much for putting your questions this week. And Will for your question and your art that you provide. And shout out to the Channel 3 community. Make sure to go out to channel3.gg to gamify your social media. Fun time, make posts, earn XP. Shout out to Marvel for making a banger of a Fantastic Four movie. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Sounds like Alex did too, so good job. And shout out to my wife V for everything you do. And if that will be all, gents, this was an excellent show. Thank you to you both for recording tonight. This has been Trophy Horrors episode 681. Happy hunting.
See ya.
Later.
The theme song is Venus by the band Even off their album Zenith. Permission granted by the band and 12 Stone Records. You can find them on Facebook by going to www.facebook.com/evenphilippines.